She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, episode 10, Passion Play. And here to talk with you about it as we are all the time, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how you doing this week?
Doing all right, man. We were just talking before, the weather has been freaking weird. It was like, you know, in the 40s last week, and now it's in the 70s this week here, so.
Yep, it's just up and down and up and down, and it can't seem to make up its mind, and it is a little annoying. But It feels like... You know how sometimes you get the fall weather where it's like it's 60, it's 30, it's 80, it's 20? It's like that, but on the other side of winter for some reason. I don't understand it. But anyway, We're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about the adventures of Amanda and Nick and Lucy.
Yeah. And Lucy.
So, yeah, we got episode 10. We're coming off of an all right episode. So, I mean, I'm not sure that we can get much worse, but we'll find out. But there is some stuff to like about this episode. So I think we just dive in and talk about what happened during the episode, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
She's an immortal, isn't she?
So?
And she's beautiful.
So are you. Can't you see you're the one I love?
For now. But I'm not going to live forever.
So opens up, we're at a performance of some kind, like a play or a one-man show. And guys playing to the crowd, and then we see Lucy in the audience. But she doesn't look like she's having a great time.
No, not compared to everybody else.
Everyone else seems to be loving it. She is not having a good time. Then we get cut to after the performance. The man that was on stage is leaving. And he's, of course, got fans just fawning all over him, and he's brushing them off, and he gets to his car, and there's somebody dressed all in black. And he kind of makes a couple of comments, and then the person raises a gun and shoots him right there. And I think twice, right? Shoots him more than once.
Yes, two shots.
And then very quickly, the police arrive. I noticed
very
that.
Quickly.
He hadn't even hit the seat yet in the car that he was about to get into, and there were already lights. And we hear, you know, police saying, "Hey, put down the gun," all that, and then turn around, and it's Lucy.
Yeah, it is.
With a gun and a sword. And so they take her away, and then they go around to the car and look, and there's no body. And then we get our opening credits. After promptly skipping those, we see Lucy. We see Lucy in the police precinct. She's getting interviewed by one of the sergeants. They're talking to her, trying to get information out of her, and she's like, "Whatever, I don't, you know, go away." Basically, Lucy doesn't want to help. And then we hear Nick in the background. He's bringing in somebody because you know, not a cop, but gonna be in the police station,
right?
For whatever reason, citizen's arrest, right? And he notices Lucy, goes over to find out what's going on, says, "Wait, you're being charged with attempted murder?" And Lucy's just brushing him off. Like, "Go away, Nick. Leave it, you know, all this kind of stuff." Nick doesn't let it go. And he takes her back to the apartment where Amanda is practicing with her fan, hand fan type thing. And they come in. Lucy is still trying to play it off. Nick, of course, is like, "Well, she spent the night in jail and all this." And She was found with a gun and a sword, and Amanda immediately says, "He's back, isn't he?" And Lucy says, "Yes," and then we go into a flashback. And we flash back to presumably the same city in 1963, because they don't give us a city name, they just give us the date, or the year.
And theater district.
Yes. So at this theater is a young man and a young woman doing a stage show, and in the audience is Amanda. And afterwards, we see them as a man named, what was his name?
Marco.
Marco, yes, Marco. Sorry about that. Marco and Lucy, a young Lucy. We're doing the stage show. They're afterwards talking, and it's already let on that Lucy knows that he's mortal.
Yep.
And then Amanda walks up. And by the way, Amanda's got quite the wig going on there.
Yeah, she does.
It was a choice. So Amanda walks up. Well, Marco feels the presence, turns around, sees Amanda. They know each other. They're old friends. They were an item once, 100 years ago, which immediately makes Lucy jealous. And so young Lucy leaves. And Amanda talks to Marco for a few minutes and says, "Let me go try and smooth things over with her." So Amanda goes and finds her at a bar, wherever. They talk for a little bit, and Amanda leaves. And as she's, or Amanda feels an immortal, another immortal, gets up, and it's another man named Wilson. Now, I will admit that at first, I thought Wilson was Marco. I did not realize it was two different people. For whatever, it took me a second. I'm like, no, this isn't the guy that she was talking to before.
Yeah, no.
They also apparently knew each other because Amanda knows everyone.
Right.
Then Amanda leaves and Wilson goes up to the bar. He sees Lucy, goes up to the bar and starts flirting with her, starts hitting on her, takes Lucy home to practice a part.
Right.
And then we get that she's ready to leave. She's had a little too much to drink. Marco or Wilson says, "Well, I'll call you a cab." And he goes into the other room, picks up a really interesting looking phone.
Yeah. Which,
I thought was kind of cool. It was just the most 60s looking 60s phone. Calls Marco and on the phone and tells Marco that he has Lucy and is going to hurt her. And then, so a little while later, Marco arrives. But it's a trap. He gets ambushed by Wilson and killed.
Yeah.
And so now we know how Lucy and Amanda met and that Wilson killed Lucy's husband, Marco, because they were married. Yeah. And Lucy hasn't forgiven him. That's why she tried to kill him. So cut to Wilson showing up at the police precinct, pretending to be a lawyer. A pro bono lawyer, looking for just a random woman, gets the name, finds out it's Lucy, and then somehow weasels away into getting her address, which I loved.
Yeah,
like no, but whatever. Yeah. If we don't do that, we don't have an episode. So he gets the address. He goes to the apartment, not knowing Amanda's there. He just because he has no idea who Lucy is. He doesn't recognize her. It's been 30 years. 36 years, something like that. So he goes to the apartment, and Amanda and Nick are there. And Lucy's gotten all upset and gone in the other room because they're not listening to her. They're telling her she needs to get over it, to not try and kill him. It's not going to do any good, all this kind of stuff. Not super helpful when dealing with grief, although Amanda is more that than Nick, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nick is kind of like, no, I want to help you get this guy. And Amanda's trying to not do that. So Wilson shows up and starts talking to Amanda and Nick. Nick immediately doesn't trust him. Then Wilson says, "Well, she told you her story. Now I'm going to tell you what really happened." And that's when I figured out what this episode was. This episode was the Rashomon episode.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a tried and true storytelling technique to do the Rashomon. Mm-hmm. So Wilson tells his version of the story, which is vastly different from Lucy's, right?
Yeah.
In his version of the story, Lucy is hitting on him and all over him and wants to take him back. He wants to go back to his place and jump his bones and all this kind of stuff. And then Marco arrived in a jealous rage, upset with her and with Wilson, and attacked. And Wilson had to defend himself and defend Lucy and kill Marco because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Nick doesn't buy a word of it.
Yeah.
Amanda isn't so sure because I guess without that, again, we don't have an episode. I don't know. It doesn't seem like she would trust him that easily, especially that wildly different of a story, but it's the Rashomon formula, so we have to. So now Amanda's not sure. Nick is pretty sure that Wilson's full of it. And then she gets a call from Basil. So second episode in a row where Basil's mentioned, but we don't get to see him.
Yep, only the name drop.
He sold Lucy a gun.
Of course he did.
Because, yeah. So somehow, and I don't know how Nick knew this, because we see Lucy sitting in a theater. And then Nick arrives at the theater and goes up on the stage. There's no one there, right? It's after hours. Lucy's the only person in the building. But Nick arrives, gets up on the stage, and Lucy just starts shooting at him with, you know, sight unseen, doesn't check to make sure she knows who it is, just starts firing.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily doesn't hit him. But then Amanda comes in shortly afterwards. Lucy is very, very upset with herself over nearly killing Nick. And once again, Amanda takes her back to the apartment, tries to console her, talk to her, and then we get the real version of what happened.
Right.
Because Lucy feels guilt over wanting to get with Wilson that night.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go through with it, but she wanted to. And then Wilson did kill Marco, and it was a kind of a hostage situation.
Yeah.
But Lucy felt so much guilt over being in that situation in the first place, and so that's why her story was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda kind of convinces her, like, you can't hold on to that and it's not going to do you any good. And like it, which I found interesting, and I'll have thoughts on that in a little bit,
but
she does convince Lucy to kind of let it go. Lucy says, you know what? I need to get away from everything and from immortals for a little while. I'm going to go visit my sister. Amanda's like, yeah, sure. That's a great idea. Go. Wants to help her. But Lucy's like, no, let me do this on my own. And, then as she's getting ready to leave, she gets into her car, and who's in her car? Wilson.
Yep.
And he grabs her, takes her back to the theater, and is going to, I guess, torture her. We don't really know. He's got her tied to a chair when Amanda shows up with Nick. Amanda challenges Wilson. Nick gets Lucy, gets out of there. Amanda and Wilson fight. Amanda wins. We get a quickening. Mm-hmm. Which we haven't had for a little while.
Yeah. And
then after the quickening with Lucy and Nick out in the alleyway while the quickening goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards they go inside and find Amanda and everything's hunky dory again. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Wilson's dead and end of episode, you know.
Yep.
It's just, it is what it is. But I have some thoughts on it, and I feel like you might have some thoughts on this one too.
Yeah, a few.
Well, let's talk about those.
Okay, well, I'll help you pack.
No, Amanda, please, let it go. I need to get away from immortals for a while. Nothing personal.
Take as much time as you need. Love you.
All right, so what I will say is it's kind of nice to have a Highlander episode in our Highlander show.
For sure.
It's... Once I figured out what it was, that it was just, it was Rashomon, and it was that story mm-hmm. structure, it made sense to me. And I gotta, I'm able to let a few story beats kind of pass because we've got to have that structure. We've got to have, here's story A, then there's story B, and then we get story C, which fits in the middle of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually leans one way or the other. And in this case, it did lean in Lucy's favor still, which makes sense. Right. But you have to have those two extremes first. It was nice to see an immortal and to see the story focus around that, even though it was, you know, it was dealing with mortals and immortals, which I did like.
Yeah.
And really, other than there's a few bits like Nick just happening to be bringing somebody into the police station when Lucy is there, is pretty silly, but we got to have some way for him to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was also nice to have a flashback, to have discussions on immortality and loss.
Yeah.
And how, you know, because Lucy, her big thing was she lost her husband. She lost the love of her life. Right. And Nick has a great line where he's trying to get through to Amanda and he's like, look, this is the love of her life. You know, this mm-hmm. happens maybe once for us.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. And I think that sometimes it's an interesting thing to explore for an immortal because they might lose sight of that over the years
mm-hmm.
when you can just sort of pick up and do it again. I mean, Amanda's been around for 1,000 years. And it's unfathomable how long that is and how many people she could meet and relationships she could have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I think what was weak for me in terms of the story was Amanda is one to hold a grudge, and immortals will hold grudges for a long time. And here she is mm-hmm. telling Lucy to just let it go. Like, your husband died. Oh, well, let it go, move on. And that felt weird to me.
Yeah. Amanda's character in this episode was my least favorite thing about mm-hmm. everything happened. Like, she wasn't holding a grudge. She wasn't personal enough to Lucy to be. And especially considering how we saw Amanda grow in Highlander, the regular series,
mm-hmm.
and how she changed over the little bit of time that she spent with Duncan currently and how that changed her.
Right.
It just felt like we were getting Amanda before that is just like carefree and doesn't need to worry about anything. And this immortal business, it's not a big deal. Whatever. You know, if I need to deal with it, I might deal with it. Kind of thing. It's like, no, I don't feel like that's the way Amanda would actually be or should be in this situation. Like, it felt very hollow.
Yeah.
Especially to Lucy, who's supposed to be this great friend of hers. It's like, mm-hmm. really? You're just going to tell her to forget it? This isn't a boyfriend she had for a couple days. This was her husband who was killed by another mortal.
Yeah, and not only that, but it was the way they met, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked that. I liked learning how the two of them met. That was cool.
Sure.
But you're right. Amanda doesn't feel like Amanda here. It's sort of like we had a few of those episodes where Duncan just felt weird, like he didn't feel right early on.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a couple of them where it's like, no, Duncan wouldn't do that. This felt like Amanda wouldn't do that. Like, she would have, if Amanda heard Lucy say he's back and knows who he is, like she does, Amanda would have had her sword and been going after that guy with everything she had.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for Nick to follow suit would have made sense. I can see that. But we've got to have the tension between Nick and Amanda, right? They have to be at opposing sides of that argument for whatever reason. And that's kind of dumb, but yeah, I'm with you. That's the weakest part of it.
They could have done it better or differently. And mm-hmm. I hate that we keep getting to this point with some of these episodes where it's like, you were good up to a point and then you lost the point of what the show is supposed to be about. And it's just like, you lost the thread on Amanda with this one. And it makes us, I don't know, it feels like we're on an unsteady boat trying to get through this episode on this story, and it never feels sure-footed at all. Like you said, like Amanda should be the one first ready and willing to go after Wilson.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think there's ways they could have made it work, you know? Have Amanda have more than just, oh, Wilson's a nice guy kind of pass. Like, have her have a pass with him where it's like, she's not ready to kill him when she sees him in the flashback, but she's definitely not so friendly with him. And then this is the thing that puts her over the edge, you know? Yep.
Well, and then on top of that, like, how easily she buys, because my first note was, okay, so we learned the real story, and now Amanda just buys that Lucy is going to, like, I thought it was going to be that Lucy would say, I'm just going to go visit my sister, and then go after him again anyway.
Right.
Which would have still made more sense and would have been the smarter thing. And Amanda, either, if that played out that way, Amanda either is like, is using that as a ploy, basically, and is smart enough to know, like, Lucy's not going to give up, and I'm just going to pretend like I think everything's hunky-dory and let her, and then follow her, or be completely blindsided by it. But for her to be, for it to not be either of those things, and for Amanda to just be like, look, I live forever, you don't, you need to let this go, and Lucy just be like, okay, that just felt like, well, we're not really, because the whole theme here is immortality, mortality, and loss. And we're not dealing with that loss at all.
Yeah.
It's just a poor way to manage any of that. So that was what really kind of sat wrong with me. And I felt like didn't get past the idea stage. Because again, there's a kernel. There's ideas in this that are pretty cool and pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's nice to have some Highlander in our Highlander show, you know, some immortals and that kind of stuff. And then it's just kind of this, you know, flopping dead fish of a narrative.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's just, they make Amanda so wishy-washy. Like after Wilson tells us his version of the story and he leaves and Nick's like, you believe that guy? And Amanda's only response on, well, memories are funny. It's like, no, she would have said, oh, I don't buy his entire story, but memories are funny, and it seems like Lucy's hiding something for some reason. Like,
there you go.
If we got that, then we've got Amanda knowing Lucy better than anybody and being like, oh yeah, he's a jerk, but he may not be entirely fibbing about exactly what went on.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah. She is very like, just there as set decoration in this episode. Kind of, there were, especially in the first two seasons, there were episodes with Richie that they did that too, where he would wildly swing one way or the other, right? Richie would all of a sudden just go 100% in one direction, and you're like, wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. Like, he's young and impulsive, but he's more level-headed than that. That's what this felt like. Like, Amanda can be a little bit on the fence on stuff because she's a survivor, but when it comes to people she cares about, she's not. Like, if it's Duncan, if it was Richie, if it's Lucy, whatever it is, like, the character is very loyal to her loved ones, and so that that is where it felt hollow. I mean, you know, it's a good thing that Lucy's a terrible shot, or we would have killed Nick in this episode.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Her just firing blindly at the stage as soon as she sees movement. Good Lord. But yeah. And then we got a quickening, which was also nice. We haven't had one of those in a few episodes.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a little weird.
It was...
They went for the kind of, hey, let's make Amanda act theatrical like Wilson was... stage actor kind of thing. It's like, okay, I get what you were going for, but I don't think you need to push it like that.
Yeah, I could see the direction they wanted to go in, but it felt a little rushed. Like, it didn't...
Especially since we've had so few quickenings. I'm like, just give me a good old quickening.
Yeah.
You know? Give me the Duncan anguish of taking this on.
Yeah. It was also nice to see a flashback, and one that was used throughout to tell the story, and just goes back a few decades. But boy, that wig, that wig they put on Elizabeth Grayson was bad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I also
not good.
I also really thought that Polly Shannon, who played young Lucy, worked because she very much reminded me of Patricia Gage. She gave a good impression of her being, you know, a younger version of her. They did a good job casting that. I think it also doesn't help. It doesn't help much too that like we're just now learning that Lucy didn't learn about immortals from Amanda. She was already married to one when they met, but we don't get to know him at all.
Yeah.
And so we meet two immortals in this. It's one of those where it's too many characters trying to be in here. And I think partly because you got to also involve Nick. So he's got to have screen time. So it probably would have been easier if instead of Marco being a immortal, have Lucy's husband be a mortal that just crossed Wilson, right? Somehow gotten his bad side, and Wilson being the jerk that he is, killed him. And Lucy's held on to that. Even if he wasn't immortal, she learns about immortality and learns who this guy is, but she still held on to the fact that you killed my husband, you killed the love of my life, and I you know, that kind of thing. I think maybe would have made a little more sense.
Yeah, maybe.
To me. I don't know. It's a way to go, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know.
They short shifted Amanda, and it just makes, it's one of those things where like, okay, the star of our show, the character we're most interested in, feels nothing like the character we expect her to be. And so it's just the thread that just pulls out this entire thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because we were complaining last week about how there was so much focus on Nick for a couple of episodes in stuff that like we could have done that, but with better stories. And then we get a story that could have done it. And instead of letting it be that, we just get this. And like, again, Nick isn't really doing much in this episode other than trying to be the moral compass for Amanda.
Yeah.
But we don't need that from him with her, which I think is another problem. I think it's a fundamental problem of the show.
Yeah. And Nick, I found super interesting in this episode with him and Lucy being on the same quote unquote team of, hey, we're the mortals in this situation and we're not crazy about the way you guys act. And, you know, even when Lucy's like, you get it, Nick. And Nick's like, yeah, I do. I don't want you to be a killer at all because I know what that's like, even though, okay, you're a cop that apparently has killed a lot of people and it's a little pot calling the kettle black, but whatever.
Right.
Still, it's just, you know, that morale of him not wanting her to be a killer. And Amanda gets on that train, but it's like, yeah, but Amanda, you don't have a good reason to not to say that compared to the way Nick is saying it, you know? But I loved how Nick sympathized with Lucy. I loved his other line that I absolutely loved is like telling Amanda, you don't get it. If someone killed my wife, I'd go after them with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
And Amanda's reaction was like, what? It's like, I'm with Nick. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, that's the way we work. When we know we're in this finite lifetime, it apparently hits different.
Yeah, but we've also seen Amanda have that kind of passion for people, too. So for her to suddenly be like, nah, just get over it. It's fine. No.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't do that. She would not act that way towards Lucy.
Right. Like you said, especially to the people in her life that she loves. She is not somebody that holds back at all.
In fact, I'm pretty sure there was an episode where she like was holding a grudge for Duncan over something or for Richie. I don't remember now.
Yeah. Offhand,
but I feel like there was one like that. But
I mean, it's the whole reason she came back at the end of the series.
Yeah.
You know, because of her loyalty to Duncan.
Yeah.
And wanting to help him in his situation. So.
Yeah. So it just felt very out of character for her. And it's a bummer because it's a waste of what could have been a really good episode, a really interesting story to tell. And instead, it's just fine. Like,
and I think you still could have had the "you need to move past this" kind of conversation from Amanda, but with a lot more sympathy, mm-hmm. you know, not the, oh, just get over it. It's like, look, I've seen this happen to people and it consumes them. I do not want it to consume you.
Right.
Kind of thing. That would have been much better, much more interesting. And actually have Amanda be, and have it from then on be, you know, Amanda tell Lucy, that's it. You're done. I'm taking over. Yeah. I will find him. Mm-hmm. I will do this. And it's like, that would have been much better, more interesting. We could have had, you know, could have still had those interesting conversations with Nick about memory and everything, but.
Yeah. Yep. That would have been the way to go. So, you know, it is what it is. It's better than the last couple of episodes. I'll give it that, but not by a whole.
Yes. Right. Yeah. This is better than last week. It's one of the better episodes, but unfortunately they missed the mark.
Yeah. I see why it's one of the top rated episodes for this series. Mm-hmm. Which again, not a super high bar to clear, but hey, here we are.
It was really funny too. The whole episode, I was like, the guy who played Wilson, Gordon Curry, I was like, he looks familiar. Where have I seen him before? And it wasn't until I finally looked at IMDb just before this. This is a weird connection I have to him. I remember him from the stupid Left Behind movies. He played the bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, huh. The old Kirk Cameron ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Antichrist.
Wow.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
I could see him in that role.
Yeah, I mean, he did fine for what it was.
Well, I mean, that's episode 10, Passion Play. A step up, mm-hmm. But the stairway is not very tall, so we're not going that high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're actually in a string of episodes that are all the top rated for this particular series. So next week is episode 11, The Devil You Know. While preparing security plans for an exhibit featuring a very expensive diamond, a former colleague of Nick is drugged by a disguised man. Worried that the security of the exhibit may be compromised, he asks Nick for help. Meanwhile, Amanda is courted by immortal Daryl Keenan, the same person who wants to steal the diamond and wants Amanda's help. So, now we're going to get conflict between Amanda and Nick because of a theft. That'll be interesting.
Mm.
That could be. Yeah. Could be all right. We'll see. We'll see how they handle it. It's the characterizations. I want the consistent characterizations. One of the things with Highlander that was great was, barring a few episodes early, they figured the characters out and they really stuck with it. I remember there was an episode we had where we didn't like it because of the way Tessa acted towards her friend. Remember the one where she found out her friend was a prostitute? Yeah. And both of us were like, that doesn't feel like Tessa. She wouldn't judge her friend that way.
Right.
But, you know, outside of that, most of the Tessa stuff was good. Most of Duncan was consistent. You know, whenever Hugh would show up, he was consistent, all of that. So that's what they're missing here, is it's just kind of up and down from week to week, from episode to episode, and sometimes even inside of an episode.
Yeah.
So that'll be next week's episode 11, The Devil You Know. Now, if you want to hang out with us while we record this live, you can do that Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/TV's Travis. Come hang out with Audie and I as we talk about this, and we talk a little bit beforehand. We usually hang out for a little while afterwards if people are around. So it's always fun. In other Highlander news, today there was an article talking about Henry Cavill, who is currently on his press tour for the movie Argyle, is coming out, was asked about the Highlander reboot. Because as we learned recently, Chad Stahelski had his deal with Lionsgate to make Highlander and make Highlander stuff, more than just a single movie, which he's all excited about. And so they asked Henry Cavill about that, because he's been rumored, but there is nothing, he hasn't said anything official. In the interview, he said, I'm starting training, and it's exciting. He said, I want to tell you more, but I want to keep it a little bit under wraps. So he is excited to do it and going to start training, and that makes me happy, because it sounds like both both Stahelski and Cavill are on board and all about it, mm-hmm. and they both like the source material. And like Henry Cavill is one of those that he takes on projects now. He likes the material, and he doesn't phone mm-hmm. in stuff. So I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, and if you don't know, Henry Cavill is a nerd's nerd.
Oh yeah, big time.
Okay, like he looks like the, you know, big old hunkin' dude who's not going to be into the nerdy stuff. He's into the nerdy stuff, folks. He's one of us. He just happens to be a strikingly beautiful man.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he was building gaming computers. He's a huge Warhammer mm-hmm. nerd, like big time.
That was the funny thing. I actually saw the person ask this question. They asked about Highlander and Warhammer. He's like, Highlander's okay. I can't say anything. And Warhammer's getting good. I'm building my stove up, getting ready. It's like, all right, nerd.
Yeah, he's all about both of those. And the mm-hmm. the Warhammer series he's got coming to Amazon is still mm-hmm. moving forward. The Highlander stuff is moving forward. It's exciting. It's mm-hmm. exciting, and I can't wait. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you ever want to talk nerdy stuff with us, I'm on all the social medias as TV's Travis, whether it's Blue Sky, Threads. I'm on a Mastodon. So I hardly talk to anybody on Mastodon, but I'm there. Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Twitch. I'm on here quite a bit. I've been playing Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines on my stream some. I am working on a Warhammer army right now that mm-hmm. is coming up for Adepticon in a few weeks, about a month and a half, just under 2 months away.
So
you can find me on all of those, and I love to talk all that kind of stuff. And I have a Discord. If you go to tvstravis.com, there's a link you can get to come to my Discord server, and you can hang out and chat with other like-minded people mm-hmm. as well. And Audie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the socials at @TheAudieNorman. Usually hang out on Twitter and Threads and Blue Sky.
Excellent. And of course, the Instagram. Instagram
yep.
As the Audie Norman as well, because mm-hmm. gotta check that art out, people. It's so good.
Yep.
All right. Well, next week will be The Devil You Know. We'll be back for that. Come mm-hmm. back and join us, because that'll be a lot of fun. But until then, just remember, they know how to write, Amanda, right?
History's five guys in a room agreeing on a lie.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.